This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of From a Woman's Perspective with Marilyn Weston, heard every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Good morning. Happy Saturday, November the 15th. I am Marilyn West, and this is Zoomer Radio, and you're definitely going to get it straight from a woman's perspective this hour. Today, it's Philanthropy Day, and that takes us to the idea of a philanthropist. Who is that person, really? Are they the millionaires and billionaires whose names we see on plaques and public buildings? Or can they also include people like us? Ordinary people with less deep pockets, but with big hearts. The word philanthropy actually means love of humanity. And when we truly understand that, we realize that it isn't just about giving money, it's about giving of ourselves. Each of us is wealthy in our own way. We all have time and talent and compassion and energy. We have a brain, a heart, and a soul. And every act of giving that we share makes us a philanthropist. It enriches our world, and it makes our world a better place. Author Bryant McGill once said, "The greatest gift you can give others is not just your time or money, but your genuine presence, your attendance and understanding and kindness." That thought reminds us that simple acts, a smile, a kind word, a bit of patience, can change a life. We may never know the full impact we make, but every caring gesture we do can add to the world's store of goodness. And that's the essence of philanthropy. It isn't about what leaves our wallet, it's about what comes from our heart. And each and every one of us can really be a philanthropist. All we need to do is look around us and to determine which of our talents, abilities, and natural gifts we can use. Because philanthropy goes far further than what's in our bank account. It's about giving what we can with care and effort to make a brighter life for someone else. Yes, we hear about billionaires donating their millions, and certainly those contributions enhance the public good by building big buildings, fundraising important research, and more. But each of us can give in quieter ways that are just as powerful. We don't have to sign a big check to be a philanthropist. There are many people among us who belong on what I could call the everyday philanthropist list. Their names may not be engraved on plaques or published, but their kindness shines brightly, often in the simplest and most beautiful ways. For example, members of the Knitting Guild across Canada have, for more than 100 years, used their fingers and yarn to make warm clothing for those in need. Thousands of scarves, mittens, and hats, each one of them stitched with love. Or we can think about someone who bakes butter tarts for school fundraisers, and they use their talent for baking and flour and sugar instead of money to help support children in schools. Or think of the volunteers who drive people to medical appointments, or others who simply lend an ear when someone needs comfort. We all have eyes and ears, a brain, a heart, and hands. And these are our priceless tools for giving. It's very simple. We can go just to our closets and cupboards and see what we're not using, and then we can release those things to help others. Or we can look around and see what there is in our community that needs doing. Something as small as taking out someone's garbage when they can't, or doing grocery shopping for someone who can't get to the store, or making a call, or offering a simple smile to a stranger. My dad Oscar taught me that lesson very early in life. I remember walking with him on Spadina Avenue one day as we went to lunch. As we entered the neighbor's restaurant, a man stopped my dad and asked him for money for food. And without hesitation, my dad said, "We're just going in to have lunch. Come and join us." That man's name was Scotty, and he did have lunch with us. And while he did, he told us that he'd been a soldier, and he was a veteran whose life had fallen off track after the war. Today, we might recognize that he was suffering from PTSD, but back then, there wasn't even a word for it. He was just a man who went to the mission for meals and got some help every once in a while. After lunch, my dad gave Scotty some money and asked him if he'd like to do some work. And a few days later, Scotty did come by Oscar's Surplus Jobbers and started working. And eventually, he became a regular employee and a man back on his feet. The day we met Scotty, my dad told me something I'll never forget. "When someone asks you for help, Marilyn, don't question it. Do what you can, because if they're asking, they have a need." That was my dad's philosophy, and it stayed with me all my life. Here in Canada, we live that spirit every day. There are statistics that prove it. Canadians volunteer over 2 billion hours each year. And if we measured that in dollars, it would be more than $55 billion in cash. That's proof that when we pull together, our small efforts add up. And together, they can equal or even surpass the impact of the biggest donors. Philanthropy is truly a team effort. Each of us can give a helping hand to another. And together, we can make our communities stronger and our world a better place. Because each of us has it in us to be a philanthropist. And here on From a Woman's Perspective, my team of experts definitely belong on that philanthropic list. They're people with big hearts and generous spirits who share their knowledge and experience every Saturday, in the hope that they'll be able to help others live well and make informed decisions with no regrets. And today, it's no exception. We're going to get health tips from Dr. Betty Rosendahl of Thornhill Naturopathic, Dr. Vivian Brown, author of The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging, and Christine, the health coach. We'll talk hearing aids with Edmund Ivazian of Hearing Aid Source Centers of Toronto and dental health with denturist Suzanne Salga of Denture Ready. We'll get smart realty solutions from Sharon Parento, learn about disability tax credit from Bria Rentala, and talk about forever homes with Daniel Wiskin of Greater Toronto Accessibility. And yes, I'll definitely be your wardrobe doctor. Every act of giving, large or small, has the power to save or change a life. And that's especially true when it comes to organ donation. So you'll hear a short message, and then we'll talk with Kevin Giffen of Full Circle Financial. He'll help us explore how investing for our future and investing in others can both offer the greatest return of all. So please stay with us and get it straight from a woman's perspective, right here, right now, on Zoomer Radio.
Every 3 days, someone in Ontario dies waiting for an organ transplant. You can make a difference. Become a registered organ and tissue donor today, online at beadonor.ca. One donor can save up to 8 lives.
Today's guests in conversation with Marilyn Wetston are proud sponsors of From a Woman's Perspective. To reach Marilyn and her guests, visit her website, marilyns.ca, or call 416-504-6777.
Now, to help us plan for our financial well-being, Kevin Giffen of Full Circle Financial is here. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Marilyn. Good morning to your listeners. Happy Saturday. So, your opening is about philanthropy and giving, and God knows in this day and age the ability to give is a gift in more ways than one, a personal gift and a public gift, a personal gift in that you enjoy the giving, and then a public gift, society gets the receipt. But Marilyn, I'm a bit troubled this morning, and let me explain. In order to give, a person may need a sense of strength or security in order to be able to give. They've achieved a sense of personal well-being and perceive an ability to embrace generosity. For example, you can be wealthy and have more than enough to give, yet be spiritually incapable as you perceive there isn't enough. Conversely, you can be a pauper, for whom money and possessions are inconsequential, and you are thus unburdened by constraints in sharing what you have. You know, the person who'll give you the shirt off their back. So why am I troubled? I'm troubled over two of my clients who are stuck, hating where they are, yet paralyzed by inertia. One of my clients, relatively new to me, broke down in tears as she expressed her feelings of being trapped. She's in the entertainment business, an award-winning, internationally recognized in her field, yet endures the instability of her industry and its fixation on youth. She's effectively become a gig worker at 62, hanging on to everything, yet nothing is really sustainable in its present structure. So how can she give? The other client suffered a similar fate in a different industry, technology, where he was essentially made obsolete. Both have assets, yet not quite enough liquidity to maintain their current circumstances. In his case, he has cut back and essentially isolated himself from that which he enjoyed. In both cases, growth requires them to let go. For each of them, I'm employing visioning exercises to help them perceive a different self, or perhaps more insightfully, finding the better self that they already possess, but just can't see it. In both cases, with slightly different approaches, I'm trying to use these visioning tools to allow them to let go. For the woman in the entertainment industry, it's about unburdening herself so that she can give. She so wants to find fulfillment and joy in helping preserve and rejoice in all things, environment, and nature. So will I be able to help her unlock herself so that she can give? For the man formerly in tech, it's a more personal journey to re-engage in life, to be able to step out of his cocoon and look up and engage the world around him. In both cases, I've changed the perspective on what they have and what they can do. In both cases, they are intrigued by the possibilities. She is closer, he is locked in for so long that I worry for him. For both of them, you can't give until you perceive that you have the means to do so. In order for one to be open to giving, they have to feel like they can give. And financial planning is about a means to identifying what and when you can give. The job is to enable and empower people.
So, Kevin, basically you're saying that when you do financial planning and you're an enabler, that you're helping people change their perspective and find their better self. And I guess that's what philanthropy is about. It's about feeling grateful for what you have and sharing some of it with others. And if someone's sitting there and wondering what they can do with their life and whether they can leave a legacy or just change their perspective, how do we reach you and how do we get that conversation and your help?
You know, I'd love to talk to people. They can either call me at 416-708-6229, or they can send me a note to ineedhelp@fullcirclefinancial.ca.
Each of us can be a philanthropist, but it helps if we have someone with a positive lens like Kevin Giffen, who help us find our better selves. So take down his number, and rather than think about it and worry about it, speak to someone who can guide you and be your GPS. Kevin Giffen, Full Circle Financial, 416-708-6229. That's 416-708-6229. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing those stories. And I do believe that you can help them find their better selves. And thank you for making the effort to do so. Have a great week, and we'll speak again next week.
Thank you, Marilyn. Everyone, have a great weekend.
The Aerolux Folding Power Chair. How do you improve on great? By introducing Aerolux 2C. Next level comfort. Aerolux 2C has an adjustable footrest for shorter long legs, a seating width of 18 inches, ergonomic backrest so you can ride all day. Yet it's ultra lightweight. Anyone can lift it and stow it away. Arrange a test ride. Call Marilyn Weston at 416-546-1000. Great, meet greater. Aerolux 2C. New from Travel Buggy.
Now, Dr. Betty Rosendahl of Thornhill Naturopathic Health Clinic joins us with her weekly tip. Good morning, Dr. Betty.
Good morning, Marilyn. So some of my patients have come in recently with concerns about mental fuzziness. So a little bit of a brain fog. Sometimes they might even miss appointments, or they might feel that they're constantly distracted or, you know, unfocused. And sometimes that happens. Our mind feels like it's wrapped in cotton wool, and sometimes small tasks feel overwhelming. But sometimes these symptoms trace back to what's called a condition called adult inattentive type ADHD. So what is ADHD? So unlike the classic picture of what we think of a restless, hyperactive child, adult inattentive ADHD often looks quieter and it can be sneakier. It may show up as scattered attention, for example, forgetfulness, procrastination, disorganization, or even difficulty sustaining an effort. And these challenges often masquerade as anxiety and depression, or sometimes feeling just overwhelmed. But beneath the surface, the brain is working a little bit differently. So let's talk about some common signs and a little bit what's happening below the surface. So some of the common signs that people might be missing are that persistent brain fog and memory glitches, chronic distraction, not just from external noise, but from a wandering, unfocused mind, procrastination, tasks start feeling very paralyzing, and forgetfulness, for example. And with adults with inattentive ADHD, especially women, it's often diagnosed as anxiety, and it can be missed, for example, or depression or even stress, because they don't often display the stereotypical hyperactive behaviors. Instead, they struggle with sometimes a quiet but persistent emotional dysregulation, fatigue, and even overwhelm, feeling overwhelmed. So what's happening beneath the surface? So at its core, inattentive ADHD can involve our executive function. That's the brain's ability to organize and prioritize tasks. And there's some important neurotransmitters like dopamine and some other neurotransmitters in our brain that govern our attention and motivation. So often traditional treatments will focus on medications, which can be helpful, but really from a naturopathic perspective, we want to support the whole system. So next week I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can do that from a naturopathic perspective, and I'll talk about some functional testing, some nutrition, and even some lifestyle and brain supportive habits. So in the meantime, if people have any questions or concerns, they can certainly give me a call. My number is 905-707-2001, and my website is thornhillnaturopathic.ca.
If you can relate to the ADHD conversation and you want to reach Dr. Betty, that's great, but she'll help you get to the root of any health problem. So give her a call, 905-707-2001. And yes, do ask for your free consultation, 15 minutes by phone or in person. Thank you, Dr. Betty, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Are you a believer? Convinced there's a correlation between our environment and your health? Then yes, you should believe in naturopathic medicine as a genuine alternative. Visit thornhillnaturopathic.ca and book a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Betty Rosendahl, ND.
Now, hearing instrument specialist Edmund Ivazian of Hearing Aid Source Centers of Toronto is going to join us and talk about the good circle that he tries to create when he helps people with their hearing aids and their hearing. So we'll let him tell us the story. Good morning, Edmund.
Good morning, Marilyn. So today is World Philanthropy Day, a day that reminds us that giving doesn't have to be a grand gesture to be meaningful. And so philanthropy isn't just about money. It's about using what we have, whether it's our time, our skills, or even the tools that we work with every day to make a life a little bit better for someone else. And at Hearing Aid Source, that spirit of giving is part of who we are. Every time we help someone hear again, whether it's repairing a hearing aid, fine-tuning a fit, or guiding someone who's lost hope, we're reminded that giving back is about restoring connection and confidence. In September of 2024, I had the privilege of traveling to Armenia as part of a hearing mission. I was the only Canadian there, working alongside the local clinicians to fit hearing aids for people who had lost the ability to hear clearly in their lives. Seeing their faces light up and watching them react to their loved ones' voices again was an experience I'll never forget. it reminded me why I chose this path, because hearing connects us to life itself. And sometimes generosity takes an even more touching form. Every so often, a family reaches out after a loved one has passed away to donate their hearing aids, hoping that they can help someone hear again. Those small devices carry memories, laughter, and love from one life into another. And when we restore and fit them for someone new, it feels like a legacy of kindness that gets to continue. That's what philanthropy is, the act of sharing what we have to lift someone else up. It doesn't always happen across the world. Often it happens right here at home. So today, on World Philanthropy Day, I invite you to think about what you can give. Maybe it's your patience, your knowledge, your time, or maybe, like those families, it's something that can bring new life to someone else. Because when we give with heart, we create ripples of kindness that help others, not just hear better, but live better.
Anyone listening who wants to deal with a company to improve their hearing, but wants to have individual help, people who share and work from their heart, then Edmund Ivazian and his team at Hearing Aid Source Centers offer more than just hearing tests and hearing aids. They'll look at old hearing aids and revive them. They'll find a new home for ones you're not using, but always, always have you and your best interests at heart. One call gets you started. I believe the hearing tests are complimentary, are they not, Edmund?
Yes, they still are.
So 416-754-4327. That's 416-754-4327. You can start Philanthropy Day by being good to yourself and giving yourself the gift of hearing well so you can participate in life and give to others. Edmund, thank you for joining us. I look forward to speaking to you next week.
My pleasure, Marilyn.
When you're ready to meet someone new, it's very helpful to have Cupid on your team. And here, on From a Woman's Perspective, her name is Linda Miller of Misty River Introductions. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marilyn. So I thought I'd talk a little bit today about something that people wonder about all the time, and it's why people use a matchmaking service. So I'll often have people say, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just go on the internet? And, you know, there's lots of people on the internet. And of course, if you've done any dating on the internet, you know how frustrating and time-wasting that can be. And then other people will say, oh, well, can't you just have your friends match you up? And having been single for probably 16 years between my two marriages, I can say nobody ever matched me up. And I mean, you'd think people would want to help you, but they'd say, oh, you're a matchmaker. I'm sure you have lots of people that you could meet. And of course, it's conflict of interest, so I couldn't meet clients. But at the same time, people would say, oh, you know, I'd love to be able to match you up. But, you know, the guys that are friends with my husband that are single, you know, I just don't think that I just wouldn't match you up with them because they're just not great. And they'd be very sort of off-putting. And so it's very frustrating because nobody seemed to want to help out. And I think I hear that from people a lot. And another thing is it's sometimes a function of the age you are. So when you're young and you've got kids, you're always meeting new people because you're out on the soccer field with them or you're in the school playground and meeting new people and talking to them. And there's lots of places to socialize. You can meet people at work. But when you get to a certain age, maybe you're over 65, you're not going to work every day. So you're not meeting those people that you come in contact with. Your social circle gets smaller because people move away. Unfortunately, people die. So you get this smaller social circle. So one of the things people like about joining a matchmaking service is they can come to us and they can be specific. I want to meet somebody who plays golf or plays pickleball, who wants to go south in the winter, those kind of things. And you can be specific about that. And you can have someone do it for you. So instead of wasting hours and hours on the internet or trying to put yourself in positions that there might be single people that come around, you're just basically calling in once a week and we're telling you about somebody who we think you might like and you're either interested or you're not. So it takes really all the work out of it, takes the stress out of it. You're not in a situation where you're wasting tons and tons of time. And yes, there is a financial commitment. But sometimes time is money, and it's also a qualifier. You know, these people that are joining have paid the same fee that you've paid, so they're serious about meeting somebody long term. And you know, we've done the due diligence on them. We figured out that they are who they say they are, they live where they say they live. So you're really getting a good quality bunch of people to choose from.
So if we want to find out more about matchmaking, how do we reach you, and when do you recommend we call?
So obviously it's Saturday morning right now. We don't open till 10 on Saturdays. Normally we're 9 to 5, but Saturdays we're 10 to 4. So you can give our office a call at 1-877-334-9041, and that works anywhere in the province of Ontario or Quebec. Or you can visit our website at mistyriverintros.com. That's mistyriverintros.com. And on the website, there is a form you can fill out to book an appointment, or you can fill out an application online. You still have to do an intake interview, because I have to make sure that we have enough people that meet your criteria that's worth you spending the money coming on board. So you'll still do the intake interview, but you can fill it out ahead of time, or you can just book a free consultation and I'll fill out the application with you for you. So those are two options.
So why waste time on the internet or waiting for friends and family to introduce you to someone when you can have Cupid in your corner introducing you to people that they believe will be the right person? And they have a great batting average. I think it's 75% success rate with people over 70. So the number is 1-877-334-9041. Make a call. Get started and meet Cupid, Linda Miller of Misty River Introductions. The number again, 1-877-334-9041. Thanks, Linda. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Linda Miller's experienced team of matchmakers meets and interviews each of her 10,000 clients. Not only does Misty River Introductions find and connect you with someone you have real chemistry with and are attracted to, they also coach you on how to turn that connection into a healthy, loving relationship. Book a free consultation at mistyriverintros.com.
Now, to learn about dental work at home, we have denturist Suzanne Salga of Denture Ready. Good morning, Suzanne.
Thanks, Marilyn. In the past few segments, we've taken a deep dive into what relines are and why they're so important for keeping dentures snug and comfortable. But today, I want to share a few lesser-known facts about dentures that might surprise people, and a story that really brings it all to life. A lot of people think dentures are a set-it-and-forget-it kind of thing, but that's not the case. Our gums and bones change and shape over time, which means even a well-made denture can feel loose and start to rub or cause pressure in the wrong spots. That's exactly what happened to one of my patients, Tim. When I first met Tim, he was using a lot of sticky denture adhesive. Every day, he would just add more and more. He said it was the only way his dentures would stay put. Over time, the adhesive started to make his mouth feel numb and irritated. When I examined him, I found that his dentures just weren't fitting the bone shape anymore. We created a pressure-fitting denture designed to match his current anatomy perfectly, and the change was incredible. Not only could Tim stop relying on this adhesive, but he also noticed that this denture was helping preserve the bone structure he still had. He told me it felt like getting his smile back and the comfort at the same time. That's something I love sharing, because proper-fitting dentures, it's not just about looks or comfort. It's about long-term oral care, bone preservation, and confidence. And that's what we focus on at Denture Ready. We provide mobile denture care, bringing the clinic experience right into people's homes, retirement communities, or care facilities. It's especially helpful for anyone with mobility challenges, cognitive changes, or simply those who feel more comfortable being cared for at home. It's been a few years since your dentures were checked, or a couple years, you need somebody to come by, just call me. I'm Suzanne. I'm a registered Ontario professional, and I will come to your house. Call me to discuss more with a free consultation. Let's get a discussion going. You can call me at 647-204-4478 or visit my website, dentureready.com.
Thank you for sharing Tim's story. Anyone listening, give Suzanne a call, ask your questions, and get your answers. 647-204-4478. Thanks, Suzanne. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Suzanne Salka, she makes house calls, a licensed mobile denturist. Suzanne brings relief to denture wearers across southern Ontario whose biggest challenge is leaving home. Call Suzanne Salka, Compassionate Denture Care, wherever you are, 647-204-4478.
Now, women's health expert, award-winning family physician, one of Canada's top Women of Influence Award recipients, and author of the best-selling book, The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging, Dr. Vivian Brown is here. Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Marilyn, and I'm really happy to talk to you because I wanted to talk to you and to the audience about adjusting to the time change. You know, we've just moved the clocks back an hour. And there are certain things you can do to make it easier for your body to adjust. The number one thing, most important thing, is to maintain consistent sleep patterns. That means going to bed and getting up at the same time, even on the weekends. It really helps to regulate our body's internal clock, and it helps to reduce feelings of grogginess. The second thing that's really important is maintaining good sleep hygiene. And what do I mean by that? It's avoiding caffeine and alcohol in the evening. It's limiting screen time so that it improves your sleep quality. And it's creating a relaxing bedtime routine so that your body knows you're winding down. You know, if you're watching something like Game of Thrones before you go to bed and you're all hyped up, you're just not going to sleep well. So sleep hygiene is giving yourself a chance to wind down. Another thing that's really important is to get some natural light in your daytime. When you wake up in the morning, open up the blinds. Hopefully there's some sunlight out there. Go for a walk. Get outside, because natural light helps reset our circadian rhythm and can boost mood. And finally, it's really important to stay active. We know that exercise on a regular basis helps improve sleep quality and mood. But don't do vigorous exercise just before you go to bed or you're too wound up. So bottom line, consider vitamin D, which is also important as the daylight hours decrease. And we've talked about that before, Marilyn, when we've talked about bone health and your immune system. But vitamin D is important when there's less daylight hours. So get your rest, have a consistent sleep pattern, get outside, practice good sleep hygiene, and get some exercise, and you'll adjust to the time change, no problem.
Thank you for addressing that, because we rarely talk about it. We just do it. So anyone listening who wants to take charge of their health, remember the name, The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging, and ask for the book in your local bookstore, or look for it on Amazon, or you can go to drvivianbrown.com. And happily, I have signed copies, so if you want a special gift, you can order it through me by calling 416-504-6777. Resolve to take charge of your health and get useful advice in clear language. The book, The New Woman's Guide to Healthy Aging. Thank you, Dr. Brown. I look forward to learning more from you next week.
Thank you, Marilyn. Sleep well.
Now, to explain why waiting to downsize might be a costly mistake, we'll get Smart Realty Solutions from Sharon Parenteau. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Marilyn. If you're an empty nester in the Greater Toronto Area, you might be thinking, we'll downsize one day, but not just yet. Or maybe you're telling yourself you're waiting for the market to bounce back. But here's the truth. Waiting to downsize can end up being one of the costliest mistakes you make, financially, physically, and emotionally. Let's talk about why. Number one, the real estate window is closing. The GTA housing market has been through ups and downs, and the current forecast calls for a slow decline in prices over the next year, followed by a gradual recovery. But here's the important part. When you factor in inflation, home values are expected to flatline. That means your equity won't grow meaningfully by waiting. In fact, you could lose purchasing power over time. If your goal is to preserve or grow your wealth, that equity sitting in your home could be working harder for you in investments, whether that's income-generating funds or simply building a more secure retirement cushion. Right now, demand is still steady for family homes in established GTA neighborhoods. But as borrowing costs and affordability challenges continue, waiting another year or two could mean you're selling in a softer market. You sell for less while paying more for everything else. Number two, financial freedom starts with flexibility. For many homeowners over 55, the family home represents their largest asset, but not necessarily their most useful one anymore. By downsizing now, you can unlock that equity while the market still supports strong values, and that could mean paying off remaining debt or reducing monthly expenses or investing the proceeds for a better long-term return. Think about it. Smaller homes, condos, or bungalow communities often come with lower maintenance costs, smaller tax bills, and reduced utilities. You're not just selling a home. You're buying freedom. Freedom to travel, spend more time with loved ones, and enjoy the retirement lifestyle you've earned. Number three, lifestyle and health matter more than ever. Let's be honest, keeping up a large property takes work. Snow shoveling, gardening, endless cleaning, and maintenance all adds up. As we age, our tolerance for physical stress and change diminishes. What feels manageable at 60 can feel overwhelming at 70 and darn near impossible at 80. The longer you wait, the harder it becomes, both physically and emotionally, to make a move. The bottom line is that downsizing now is the easiest it will ever be. It doesn't get easier over time, it gets harder. Downsizing earlier means you can do it on your own terms while you still have the energy, health, and motivation to manage the transition smoothly. And just as importantly, you get to actually enjoy your next chapter. A home that's easier to maintain, all on one level, maybe with amenities like fitness rooms and social events and easy access to health care. It's not just about less work, it's about more living. So this isn't about losing your past, it's about building your next chapter intentionally. And there is a risk of doing nothing. The simple math is that the market isn't expected to rise meaningfully after inflation. Maintenance costs and property taxes will continue to increase. Your ability to manage the move physically and emotionally will only get harder. So waiting doesn't protect you, it actually shrinks your options. And those who do downsize sooner often find the experience of a lighter, freer, and financially smarter lifestyle makes them say, "I wish I'd done it sooner." So there's a window of opportunity right now, and it's not going to stay open forever. So if you're thinking about downsizing, start planning today. Talk to a trusted real estate professional who specializes in transitions for 55-plus homeowners in the GTA. You don't have to move tomorrow, but taking the first steps now ensures you'll have options, control, and confidence when the time feels right. If you'd like to learn more about your downsizing options, join our webinar, Get Ready to Downsize, on Wednesday, November 19th at 4 p.m. You can register by visiting our website, smartrealtysolution.com, or by calling me, Sharon, at 416-460-5636.
416-460-5636 to register for a free webinar or get a booklet or simply get Smart Realty Solutions from Sharon Parenteau. Thank you, Sharon. We'll speak again next week.
Thanks, Marilyn.
We are all beings of meaning and community. We provide care at home, hospital, retirement, and long-term care homes. We focus on the social by providing free programs online or in person. Visit us at mosaichomecare.com.
I'm Marilyn Weston, your wardrobe doctor. On this Philanthropy Day, we're celebrating giving, and that doesn't always mean that we have to open our wallets. It can be as simple as opening the doors to our closets. The simplest way to start is by releasing the things that we have in our closet that we no longer wear, that no longer fit all aspects of who we are, not our bodies or our lifestyle, or perhaps not our current attitude. To help you get started, you can look on my website, marylins.ca, and you'll find my closet organizing instruction sheet. That's marylins.ca. Personally, I found the easiest way to give things away is to find a recipient who will truly appreciate what we release. When we know that we're making someone else happy by giving them something that no longer gives us pleasure, we can create a win-win. For example, my friend Catherine, may she rest in peace, wore my exact shoe size, and every time I bought a new pair, I rotated a pair out of my closet to her. She was happy, I was happy, and that motivated me to keep that circle going. And we can all do that. Find a recipient, make them happy, and then be motivated to do more closet organizing each season. Sometimes letting go is difficult. I recently had a call from a listener who had a wedding gown that she'd worn over 40 years ago. And she just couldn't bear to drop it into a donation box. I recommended a charity in her neighborhood, New Circles. That charity would hang her dress in a respectful way in their space, so someone who needed it could select it and try it on, and then wear it and be married for many years and have that good feeling that she had had. That simple act gave her peace and made another bride very happy. There are charitable organizations in every neighborhood, and all you have to do is look around. And there are even charitable organizations that'll pick up your donations at your door. But remember, the items that we give away should be gently used, not stained, torn, threadbare, or overly worn. And that leads us to another question. What do we do with the things that are no longer wearable? Surprisingly, even worn or stained fabric garments can still have value. They can be recycled, repurposed, or reinvented. And then we're helping people and the planet. Old clothing and textiles are collected, sorted, and processed in many ways. Some are shredded and respun into new yarns and then made into fresh fabric and new clothing. Others are used for stuffing in furniture, toys, or insulation. Crafters transform scraps into braided rugs or quilts or other creative items. And clothing can even be restyled. I have a friend, Brenda, who showed me how she could take worn-out jeans that no one would ever wear again and turn them into lovely pocketed sport tote bags. And that's one example of ingenuity that keeps items out of our landfills. Congratulations, Brenda, and thanks for your inspiration. And beyond donation boxes for gently used clothing, in many Ontario communities, if you look around, you'll find specially marked textile recycling bins, not just for garments in good condition, but for worn out sheets, scarves, items that are ripped and torn and threadbare, and even single socks that can't go into a thrift shop but can still be diverted from the landfill. In large-scale operations, clothing and fabrics are often sold by weight. They're packed into bales, shipped abroad, and resold and reused. The revenue from these sales support charities and nonprofit programs and help communities both locally and internationally. So when we drop a bag of clothing into a donation box, it may travel far, but it gives garments a second life and also raises money for a good cause. And even what seems like waste can be transformed into something useful. I learned the spirit of giving from my mother. Each season, she'd go through our closets and find what was no longer good for us. It didn't fit us or we weren't wearing it, and she packed a box for her relatives in Poland. She remembered her war years when parcels from American relatives helped clothe her entire family. Anyone listening who wants to hear stories that will inspire them to take good action and be positive about dressing, I'm happy to say that I now have signed copies of my book, Marylin Weston, The Wardrobe Doctor, More Than Just Fashion. They're just $20 for my listeners with free local shipping. And I'll include a closet organizing instruction sheet with each one. So if you wish to order one for yourself or as a gift, simply call me at 416-504-6777. And I'll be glad to take your call. That's 416-504-6777. Beyond restyling and donating or recycling, each of us can make a difference. Every garment we pass along, every scrap that we find a home for or repurpose is an act of care for others and for our planet. As Mother Teresa once said, it's not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. And even centuries before her time, Aesop, the ancient storyteller whose fables still teach us today, reminded us that no act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted. That wisdom has endured for more than 2,000 years, and it's proof that caring for others in any form is a truth humanity has always believed in. We've always been able to practice philanthropy. Each garment we pass along, each scrap we recycle, is one more thread in the fabric of a better world. And while we're here, I'd like to ask a favor. I'd love to hear from you. If you have ideas, creative projects, or tips for reusing clothing, I'd love to hear them. Please send me an email at me@marilyns.ca. That's me@marilyns.ca. Or you're welcome to call me directly at 416-504-6777. I'm always happy to learn from you, and then we can share those ideas with others. I am Marilyn Weston, your wardrobe doctor, and in a moment, I'll return as Marilyn Weston, your host. We'll speak with Christine, the health coach, and Daniel Wiskin of Greater Toronto Accessibility. And at the end of the show, we'll explore even more about Philanthropy Day. So stay with me and continue to get it straight from a woman's perspective, right here, right now, on Zoomer Radio. Now, disability tax credit expert Bria Rantala of Disability Tax Results is here. And we always learn something we've never spoken about before on From a Woman's Perspective. So good morning, Bria.
Good morning, Marilyn. Thank you for having me. Today, I wanted to touch base on how the disability tax credit could benefit you and your family. So as we know, disabilities don't discriminate. So how could a family benefit? Well, eligibility is only based on the severity of your daily functioning. So this could be mental or physical impairments. CRA does not look at your income or your ability to work. Recognizing that not all disabled people can work, CRA allows this credit to be transferred to a family member that helps you financially. So what this means is if you have lower earnings and you get approved for the DTC, but you don't pay taxes, your supporting family member can claim the DTC on their income tax and they will get the refund amounts. The DTC is just one way that you can get a refund amount. Let's just say that a supporting family member claims the DTC on your behalf due to your lower earnings. Your supporting family member may also be eligible for a caregiver credit. If the person with the impairment is a minor, the parents could get the child disability benefit, which is kind of like the Canadian child benefit, but it's at an increased rate. Eligibility for the DTC may also give you access to other programs, such as an RDSP, a Registered Disability Savings Plan, or the CDB, the Canadian Disability Benefit, which is designed for lower income earners. Whether you are young or old, working, unable to work, or a pensioner, having the disability tax credit can benefit you and your family. Give us a call at 519-265-3145 for your free, no-obligation consultation.
RDP, CDB, DTC. If you're scratching your head wondering what these things are, there's a disability tax credit available. There's money to put in your pocket, and you don't have to do anything but call an expert. Remember the name Bria Rantala, a disability tax results, and call her. Ask your questions, and she'll be able to answer them and tell you if, in fact, there is money to be had. So the number is 519-265-3145. That's 519-265-3145. You don't know what you don't know, so ask and find out about the disability tax credit and the other credits that may be able to put money in your pocket. Thank you, Bria, for sharing that information. I always learn something that I didn't know before, and I look forward to learning more from you next time.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Before you can claim the new Canada Disability Benefit, you must first apply for the Disability Tax Credit. Does your medical condition make you eligible? We know the answer. Disability Tax Results. Here to help you get the tax credits you deserve. Call us for details. 519-265-3145.
Now, our weekly tip from Christine, the health coach. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Marilyn. Strength training and balance exercises for bone health. What type of exercise program should I follow? This is one of the most common questions people ask who have concerns about thinning bones. They are aware that exercise can play a role in slowing bone loss, but they don't know what type of exercises is best. The short answer is any exercise that challenges your bones with weight or resistance. A well-rounded strength training program that works all the major muscle groups is most effective. This creates stresses on the bones throughout the body, stimulating extra deposits of calcium and nudging bone-forming cells into action. The bones that are benefits are those that attach to the muscles that are being worked. For example, if you're doing a standing calf raise, you benefit your shin bones. The bridge is good for your hips and spine. Finally, strength training, particularly if it includes work on power and balance, enhances stability, which can help you protect you from falling. So we all need to follow a safe exercise program. So call me at 416-809-4084 for a private complimentary consultation, or visit my website, ChristineTheHealthCoach.com.
We all want to be safe when we exercise, and we want to know what to do. That helps when you have a health coach like Christine. So give her a call, have a complimentary consultation, and find out what the best course of action is for you. Christine's number, 416-809-4084. That's 416-809-4084. It will cost you a little time and nothing else, and the benefits will be huge. I benefit each day and by being with Christine, and I know you will too. Thank you, Christine, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Today's guests in conversation with Marilyn Whetston are proud sponsors of From a Woman's Perspective. To reach Marilyn and her guests, visit her website, marylands.ca, or call 416-504-6777.
Now, accessibility expert Daniel Wiskin of Greater Toronto Accessibility is here. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Marilyn. After years of helping people renovate their homes, I've realized something. A renovation isn't just about new floors or fancy fixtures. It's about how you live in your space every single day. And lately, I've been seeing more people think ahead. Not just renovating to make things look nice, but to make their homes work better for them. Take my client, Alex. He's a retired firefighter in his 60s. Tough guy, still active, but after a knee injury, some parts of his home just weren't as easy to get around. He told me, "I don't want this place to look like a hospital. I just want to be able to move comfortably without worrying about slipping." So we redid his bathroom, gave him a beautiful barrier-free shower, a wide entryway, and grab bars that actually look like part of the design. We even added motion lighting so he never has to fumble for a switch in the dark. When we wrapped up, Alex looked around and he said, "You know what? I didn't think I needed this, but now I realize I should have done it years ago." That stuck with me because accessibility renovations aren't just about aging or mobility. They're about living better, longer in the home you love. It's about comfort, safety, and peace of mind without sacrificing style. And honestly, the best part, once people experience the difference, they always say the same thing. Why didn't I do this sooner? So if you've been putting off that renovation, whether it's to make your life a little easier or just to finally modernize your space, maybe this is your sign. Your home should grow with you, not against you, and let Greater Toronto Accessibility help guide you to the best renovation experience yet.
So entice us with a show special, Daniel.
So I will offer a Forever Home Safety Check to the first three callers this week for free. Come to your home, give you a full assessment of top to bottom, and you'll get to know what you can do in your house and how much it's going to cost. Call me, 647-206-6409. That's 647-206-6409.
Thank you, Daniel, and a shout out to Alex. All the best. Enjoy your new bathroom.
Thanks so much, Marilyn.
On this Philanthropy Day, we can take the words of Anne Frank to heart. She wisely said, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world." And it's a perfect day to take that advice. It's a reminder that we can take action right now, even in this very moment. By now, most of us realize that philanthropy is possible, not just for the uber wealthy as a gift to society, but for each and every one of us, for our fellow human beings. And if we haven't given of ourselves lately, perhaps today, on this Philanthropy Day, we can look around and find things within us and around us that we can share with our fellow humans. We can show our love for humanity and be philanthropists in our own ways. Rather than do a limitless list which could take forever, perhaps we can be the eyes and ears and seekers and notice the gifts of giving, the small acts of kindness, time, talent, or heart that we each can contribute. Because in the long run, it's all about loving our human family, loving each other and doing what we can to support and to help one another. Science shows that people who give their time and talent or treasure are not only happier, but healthier and more resilient. Generosity nourishes the giver as much as the receiver and contributes to longer, more fulfilling lives. Maya Angelou pointed this out. She said, "I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver." And if we look at the big picture, each act of giving benefits not just ourselves and our recipients, but it does benefit the whole world because we're making it a little better one act at a time. And even a small ripple of kindness can grow into something far-reaching. We've all heard about paying things forward. So let's just do that. Let's be grateful for our gifts and share them and give of ourselves and be the philanthropists that we are capable of being. It starts with our gratitude. So, time to say thank you. Let's say thank you to the caregivers, service providers, and healthcare workers. And thank you to Ian, Duncan, and the production team. And thank you to the From a Woman's Perspectives team of experts. And thank you to you. You for listening this hour. And a very special thank you to those of you who make this Philanthropy Day a day to love your neighbor and to do a good deed and to be a philanthropist any way you can. And to anyone who wants to help sort things out and to live well or even better, please know that your From a Woman's Perspective team of experts is here for you. Our contact information is on my website, marilyns.ca. Just click on the On Radio heading and you'll see the sponsor expert list with our contact. And you're always welcome to call me directly if you prefer. My number, 416-504-6777. We can find comfort in the fact that we are surrounded by good, kind, giving people, and that each of us in this huge human family can help one another and be philanthropists. But unfortunately, there is a caution. In this day and age, there are scammers, people who use the internet or scam us to our faces. So if it's a big ask, beware. Ask questions and proceed with caution. And for the little things and the things you can do of yourself, remember my dad's advice. and take his words to heart. When someone asks you for help, don't question it. Do what you can, because if they're asking, they have a need. Goodbye until we speak again from a woman's perspective next Saturday morning at 8 here on Zoomer Radio. And remember, everyone can be a philanthropist in their own way. Bye-bye until next Saturday.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.